Dr. Joseph Gastaldo joins us now live via Zoom. He is an infectious disease expert in the state of Ohio. He has 21 years of experience in this field. Doctor, thank you so much for being here.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here.
So we're hearing a lot about COVID fatigue. Can you talk a little bit about that and how to avoid it?
Yeah, well, we're coming up, unfortunately, on almost the one-year anniversary of COVID-19. The first case of COVID-19 was described to the CDC on January 21st. So we are all hearing about it in the news for almost a year. COVID fatigue refers to us living with it and us recognizing and trying to do the best we can with the mitigation strategies. And again, as we learn more, there's a lot sometimes of mixed messages out there about masks. Initially, we said don't wear masks because there was concern of a shortage of the supply of masks. Then we said wear masks. So COVID fatigue really refers to us living with COVID-19. We are still dealing with all of the damage that COVID-19 has caused society. And I think when history looks at the whole story of COVID-19, the next 3 to 4 months are going to be the most challenging times for us in the country.
So you talk about mitigation strategies. What are mitigation strategies? What are they? How can people implement them?
Yeah, so mitigation strategies is a term we use to help lower your chance of getting COVID-19. And again, we use mitigation strategies all the time. When you drive your car, you put on a seatbelt, you obey the speed limit, and you don't text. So when it comes to COVID-19 mitigation strategies, it's obviously wearing a mask and wearing a mask appropriately, covering your nose, covering your mouth, and underneath your chin. Other mitigation strategies that are just as important is physical distancing, hand hygiene, not touching your eyes, your nose, or your mouth. That's how the virus gains access to cause infection. And another one that we're talking about more and more is appropriate ventilation of air. We all know that being outside is safer than being inside, but that's really going to become more of an issue as the temperatures change and really it's too cold for us to get together.
Yeah, and speaking of getting together, there are so many families who are really desperate to see each other. Maybe they haven't seen each other in the past year. The holidays are coming up. What is your advice to people who want to have gatherings for the holidays?
Yeah, well, some of it's common sense. You know, nothing in life and nothing in COVID world is zero risk. You really have to ask yourself, what is your tolerance of risk? And really, if you are at a severe immunocompromised patient, someone who's really at high risk of having a bad outcome of COVID-19, you really have to ask yourself, is it worth the risk of you to getting this and potentially getting sick and die? But some common sense strategies, obviously, as best as you can, try to put yourself in that bubble of not being exposed to the virus within 14 days of getting it together. Number two, really try to limit how many people are going to be in that gathering. Generally speaking, 10 or less is a good number. Try to limit the amount of households if possible. Be outdoors. Obviously, that's hard for us to do in Columbus, Ohio, and in Chicago when it's really cold. And then more importantly, using mitigation strategies in your home. It's very foreign for people to wear masks in their home. But when you get together with a bunch of people, especially during the holidays or watching a football game, what do? You have to remove your mask to eat. So really recognizing that mitigation strategies work together and really as best as you can operationalize how you do it in your home.
All right. Is it possible to end on a high note? Is there any good news when it comes to COVID? We've been talking a lot about this potential vaccine. Are you seeing any good news or any good trends?
Yeah, two good things to, I don't want to necessarily say celebrate yet, but two positive things. Number one, it was introduced that Pfizer had a press release showing that their vaccine was greater than 90% effective in those who received it. That's very positive news. Number two, the other important announcement that was not necessarily in the press as much was the emergency use authorization of a neutralizing monoclonal antibody. This is the first outpatient medication we have to give to high-risk individuals who have COVID-19. In essence, these antibodies are given to people. It binds the virus, prevents them from causing infection, and hopefully keeps them out of the hospital or even dying. So I think as 2021 happily gets here and as the year progresses, I expect the distribution of probably more than one vaccine and hopefully more therapeutics. And I'm confident in saying that by this time next year, as a country, we will hopefully be in a different place when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hopefully you can join us again with some good news down the road. Dr. Gastaldo, thank you very much for joining us. Stay safe.
Thank you.